Well, take just a minute to have your Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter 2. Great verses of the Scriptures. All of us, if you look at the book of Proverbs, you'll find its express purpose in chapter 1. Notice, if you would, chapter 1, verse 2. This is the wisest man to ever live by God's gift. And here's his statement. The book of Proverbs are pithy sayings that he's given to us to help us make right decisions, to help us be in the center of God's will. Now, I want you to understand today that there's all kinds of principles in this book. Now, principle is a rule of thumb. It is guiding light. It is something that you would say there's a principle. Here is a principle that the wind, which way does the wind and most of the clouds, what's the principle of which way the weather comes from here in D.C. area? Which way does it come from? The west. Okay. But it doesn't always. It means it can switch up. There are exceptions to the rule. Now, there are some principles where there are no exceptions. There are almost none of those. But one of them is, where does the sun rise every morning? Always in the east. Where does it set? Always in the west. So there are certain things that never change. Now, that's for when you're here. If you're in Alaska, the sun doesn't set sometimes. So again, the principle is a guiding rule of thumb, you might say, that always is that way. Of course, there are exceptions, but it's a guidance for us. And we learn and say, Lord, give me wisdom, understanding, good judgment, good discretion. All of those are words mentioned. Notice Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 1, excuse me, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. In other words, to give the ability to not be taken advantage of to those of us who are more simple-minded, not digging deep into things. Notice, if you would, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man, verse 5, will hear, it will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now notice, if you would, chapter 2, he sort of begins to cover some of those subjects. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, I want to take just a minute. And all of us in this room need the wisdom of God. All of us in this room need the understanding of the Lord. We need to learn how to understand things that are hard for us to figure at the beginning. Why someone mistreat us. But maybe we'll understand it, and then if we don't understand it, we forgive it and walk on. There's an understanding. There's good judgment. We learn to make decisions that are right in the Lord's sight. Now watch this. Wisdom, understanding, discretion are tools that we use to not be at the edge of God's will. At the edge of God's will. But in the center of God's will, where his richest blessings are. Now, you can also choose to be outside of God's will, just barely, and do your own thing. You'll notice Proverbs chapter 1, he speaks about some young men that make a decision to be outside the will of God. They're the kind of people that are always in trouble. They're the kind of people that make mistakes. They're the kind of people that get the ire of God upon them. The Lord is angry with them. You'll notice the way he responds. Notice, if you would, verse 30 of chapter 1. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So you've got a choice that you and I can be outside the will of God and get everything that we want. But it'll be sour in our mouth. It'll be salt in our mouth. It'll not have the sweetness we thought. And so the Bible says they would none of my counsel. You and I can be like that. Or we can say, Lord, I want to be in the center of your perfect will. Now, that's the goal we want for all of our children and our grandchildren. That's the goal as a pastor I want for every one of you, is to desire not to be at the edge of God's will or to the edge inside of God's will, but that you are totally pliable and say, Lord, I will do anything that you want me to do. And Lord, I am yours no matter what, in the center of God's perfect will, so that he can open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, sometimes in the center of God's will, there's trouble. Ask Joseph. Ask Daniel. Ask Job. Yet, there's always, at the end of it, and during a course of time, even in the middle of that, the Lord says, I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you. So you and I can enjoy the inward peace and the inward blessing of God in the midst of those difficult days, in the midst of pain and suffering, because we know our God is real. But to make decisions that keep you in the center of God's will requires wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discretion. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter number 2, in verse number 2. Verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, there are prerequisites to getting knowledge and understanding of the Lord. There is no prerequisite except one for getting wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. James chapter 1 tells us that. So wisdom is the ability, now watch this, it's the ability to make right decisions according to God's word. Now, the Lord sometimes grants a mercy and a grace to us that something just sort of feels right. It's sort of like a rookie quarterback in the NFL. He gets back, he's ready to throw the pass, and it just feels right to throw it to that guy, but he doesn't know why. And so he gets the ball and he likes the guy, and so he tries to throw it to him, and maybe there's two guys covering him. And it works 50% of the time, but he throws an interception because they bait him into doing things that he ought not to throw, to do. And so over a period of time, as he gains knowledge and understanding, he begins to take those tools and use to make decisions that are wise ones. And he begins to learn to see what the defense, what the devil is doing against him, if I could picture it that way. So then he begins to look at the wide receiver A, and he's covered. He looks at slot receiver B, and he goes down and he's short. And then he sees wide receiver B on the other side going deep. And he says, now who am I going to throw it to? If he sees the guy, he begins to learn to process this information. Well, as a Christian, it's no different. You and I learn to process how to pick good friends, how to go to the right places, how to spend our time wisely, so that we're not at the edge of the will of God, but in the center of the will of God. And as a pastor, that's what I want for you. I want you to be in the dead center of the will of God so that he can always bless you, even in the times of trouble and trial. Now, notice, if you would, prerequisite number one, we must be receptive to the will of God. We must be receptive to the knowledge of God. Notice verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. So there has to be a willingness to say, Lord, I'm willing to listen to your words. I'm willing to let them soak in. And so you could tell if somebody wants to be in the center of God's will by the way they listen in church. Can you not tell if someone's interested in making a good grade in school by the time they come to school and they sit there and they're all just kind of looking around? And do you sense that receptiveness? Don't we try to teach our children when you go to class, listen, pay attention. Where do you want them to sit in general? When they go to class, where do you want them to sit if they have a choice? Carrie? What'd you say? I didn't understand that. At the front. Why? Because if they sit in the back, many times there's distractions and they lose their attention. Why? So I want them to sit at the front so that it helps them be more receptive. Now, that's a simple principle. It's not always that way. There are some of you that sit near the back because you've got to work late. You come in at the last second. I appreciate you sitting in the back. How many of you remember the lady that was a little bit off that would come down the front and she would walk right down here and look around for a spot and she'd look around? How many of you remember that lady? Okay. Sweet lady. But my point is that it's better if you come in late. There's always a reason. That's the reason the back is there. But the front is the place where if you go to a ball game, you pay the most for the front. Why? Because you're there to receive the most. You can see the most. And so he says in the principle of Scripture, if you want the knowledge of God, be willing to say, Lord, I'll receive it. I'm listening. And so prerequisite number one is, are we listening? And he teaches, he that hath ears, let him hear. The idea is, look, God has given us ears to listen. He's given us the ability to be receptive, but we have to be willing to listen. So if we're out here in the will of God at the very edge, 90% of the time we're willing to listen, but that 10% gets us in trouble. Outside the will of God, maybe 50% of the time we do right. And so, do I want you to do right 50% of the time? Do I want you to have 50% of God's blessings? Do I want my grandchildren to have 50% of God's goodness or 90%? Or all of it? So my dream and desire for you and my prayer is that you would be in the center of God's will. But prerequisite number one, for you to have the tools to consistently make the right decisions, you must be receptive to the words of God. You must be willing to listen to them. Now, that may mean you've got to be willing to hear God's word preached. You've got to be willing when you come in to block everything else out. It's easy to come to church and be distracted because there's more than one person here. But you come in with a purpose and heart and say, Lord, I want to listen. Now, notice prerequisite number two in verse number one. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So you must be willing to memorize God's word when you hear something that makes a lot of sense to you. Psalm 119. 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? Keep a clean life. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. And then he says, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So would to God David would have had those words emblazoned in his mind when he saw Bathsheba. Look not, I'm going to turn away. I'm not going to do that. Would to God that David would not have made that mistake had he listened to his father's instructions. I mean, if he listened to his son's instructions, if his son could have given it to them. But I think David is the one that sort of made some mistakes and Solomon said, you know, I see mistakes my father made. And so Lord, give me wisdom not to make those mistakes. Give me wisdom to help my people. And so if you look at it from the point of view, could David have, he had the willingness. He was a man after God's own heart, the book of Acts says. But he wasn't willing to always hide it in his heart. How many of you know what passwords are? How many of you got a few passwords? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you, what's the one app that you use the most in your on your phone or on your computer? What's one of the apps that you use the most? Your banking app? Or maybe your Bible app? Or maybe Somebody else, give me an app that you use a lot. Give me an app. Nobody uses a computer?
Google.
Okay. All right, Google. Well, you know, if you've got to put in a password to Google, I don't have to do that because I'm not smart enough to do that. I just click and it goes to it. But if you've got a password to some app, how do you know what it is? Most of the time, it's up here. That doesn't mean now because you've got so many of them, you write them down in a file and keep up with them. But the idea is to try to keep up with it. I wonder why they came up with fingerprint and facial rec, because people got tired of remembering them. So now you just look at your phone and it takes your face and it brings you up. Okay? But the idea is, God says, I want you to hide my word in your heart. You're never going to be able to look at things and just by seeing it say, I know what to do. You're going to have to take my words, hide them in your heart, and use those teachings, use those words as the guide to get you out of 50%, out of 90%, to 100%. So you'll notice he says prerequisite number one is to be receptive. Number two is to memorize it. To memorize key phrases. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. I've got to memorize things and abide by them. So whenever I'm faced with a decision, the words of God come to me. And it protects me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So notice number two, he says, and hide my commandments with thee. Now notice number three. See in the outline, I'm going to skip down to number three. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasures, there's got to be a burning desire to be in the center of God's will for all of us. It doesn't just happen, folks. You've got to work at getting out of 50% of right, 90% of right. You've got to work diligently at 100%. That's the reason I don't know if there's ever been a starting quarterback going for 16 games and not throwing an interception. He makes mistakes. But if he's thrown 30 touchdowns and one or two interceptions, he's considered to be Hall of Fame material. Well, God is looking for some Hall of Fame material Christians that just almost never make mistakes because they are willing to listen. They hide what they hear in their hearts and they're desperate for more knowledge. They're desperate to learn more little things, the smaller things. I hope you don't have the fight to tell the truth. Now that's something that should be in all of our hearts from a long time as a child. Thou shalt not lie. We ought to have that done. But I tell you, you know, some that maybe are a little bit smaller that we don't really always take note of, you know, forgive thy brother. Be careful of your tongue. You know, we have to learn to add these principles to our life. And so we've got to say, Lord, I want to do the right thing. Lord, I'm desperate to find out the knowledge that you have to give to me so that I can go from 50% to 90%. That's a big jump. That's really by the will of God, by just saying, look, I just want to do what's right. But trying to get from 90 to 100 takes really hard work. It takes you memorizing God's word, you searching for all of the little idiosyncrasies in life that God does teach us. Notice, if you would, in verse number five, verse number two, I want you to go back. So that thou incline, this is number four. First is receptive, two is memorized, three is desire. And four, notice if you would, so that thou mayest, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You've got to apply what you know. Now, if you don't know much, you're going to make more mistakes. That's the reason we desperately seek for the knowledge of God. That's the reason why there's got to be a time when you read God's Word. You've got to study God's Word. You've got to want to know the truths of God. Lord, show me from your Word so that I won't make the mistakes. Show me, Lord, so that I can please you. Now, there's two parts that we're learning. Number one, the things not to do. I don't want to lie. I don't want to covet. I don't want to be mad at my brother. I don't want to try to pay people back. But then there's something, and I think this is the 10%. I think you can get to 90%, but I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. But I don't want to. But you can't get to this without, I want to please you. I want you to be happy with me. We look for ways to bring him joy. So when maybe you've got a small child and you're trying to teach them all the things not to do, don't put rocks in your mouth and don't push all your cereal off your tray, and you're just trying to teach them to do things. Don't do this and don't do that. And I'm sure as a young child, if we could think, we'd say, is there anything I can do? Because we're always being corrected. But then, as you get a little closer to the will of God, and you say, I want to do what's right, you'll notice all those things that you don't do, there's sort of an innate principle in Scripture. It doesn't sound right to yell at my parents. It doesn't feel right to hate that guy. It doesn't feel right to want to pay that guy back. The Holy Spirit guides us. But to go from here to here, you've got to really desire to please him. And that's the hardest part many times. It's to fall in love with the Lord. That's the greatest command of Scripture. And so that's the one that's the hardest to do. It's to take all else and put everything else and all those things and put them aside. Now, notice that brings me to the next to last one. To have knowledge and understanding, we've got to make them the priorities of our life. Notice verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her for hid treasures. There's a desire, but there's also the priorities that we put on it. There's some things in my life I want, but I desperately want to please you, Lord, to do what's right. There are priorities in your life. You've got to put them there. You've got to be willing to forgive when people don't deserve it in order to please him. That's a priority. Though my priority, Lord, I want to please you. You mean I got to forgive that guy? Okay, I'll forgive him. You mean I've got to give that person? I'll do it. Or you mean I've got to go over and help that guy mow his grass even though he's mean to me? I'll do it. There are priorities that I see in Scripture. You know, heap coals of fire upon your neighbor. Well, we know what that is. You know, when he asks you for a little something, you do a lot of something to be a blessing to him. You show him the love of God in abundance, even though he doesn't deserve any of it. We learn how to do that. That's not something we do at the edge of God's will. That's the only thing, only time we can do that. Forgive people that don't deserve to be good to people that are mean to us. It's when you're in a dead center of God's will. It's not a natural response, and you have to think about it. And you have to desperately say, Lord, I want to please you. Okay, I'll forgive them. Lord, I want to please you. Okay, I won't say that. But those are that final 10%. By the way, those are the things that make a marriage very sweet. It makes two people very close friends. When they care about them so much, they want to please them, and they're willing to sacrifice of themselves to please them, to get there. That's the last 10%. That's the difference between the perfect will of God and the edge of the will of God. Now, notice if you would, these priorities are ones that we search for like we've lost something. Anybody here ever, you've lost a particular gift card? I misplaced a gift card. Man, I was looking all over the place for it. And I was trying to find it, and And, I wonder where I put that. And I'm trying to think of where in the world could I put that thing. And it was a place I never even thought of, on my desk. You know, I mean, I never even thought about that. I was looking for pockets and all kinds of different things. But if I put that same priority, you know, when that happens, I'm not thinking about the ball game that's on. I'm not thinking about this thing, that thing. I've got one thought in my mind. Where did I put that? I'm seeking for it as silver and gold. When you act like that, Lord, I want to be in your perfect will. I'm desperate to be in the center of your perfect will. Lord, it's the first thing in my life. I want to love you more than anything else in the world. I want to please you. I want to hear you say, I'm proud of you more than anything else in the world. And then it won't bother you a bit to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. It won't bother you a bit to be extra good to somebody that's absolutely mean to you. You know why? Because your priority is, Lord, I want to please you. I'll do anything. And you can live in the center of God's will then. Now, notice, there's great protection in doing this. In being in the center of God's will, there's great protection. I want you to see it in three ways. Notice, if you would, in number one, our ways will be preserved from evil. Look at verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. God says, I'll preserve your way, the direction that you're going. I'll keep you in the right way. In other words, my principles will guide you. They will steer you away from the people doing the wrong things, steer you away toward the people that are doing the right things. These principles, these intricate principles that I have will guide you into the center of my perfect will. But you've got to be willing to listen. You've got to be willing to hide it in your heart. So that it comes back to your mind. Growing up as a kid, my father loved the Green Bay Packers. And I did too, because my father did. And I loved the Dallas Cowboys. So when they played for the NFC Championship, it was real confliction. Well, I'll never forget in the Ice Bowl. How many of you remember seeing the Ice Bowl or clips of it? Okay. All right. Well, Dallas is on defense, and the Green Bay Packers are on the 1 yard line, and there's 17 seconds left, I believe. They don't have any timeouts, so what are they going to do? Well, they could throw the ball, and they go back to the huddle, and I believe it was Jerry Kramer or Bart Starr, one of them, said, I remember watching film, and I remember seeing Jethro Pugh. He gets up a little high when he starts to rush. I think I can get under him and slide him back into the end zone. Follow me, Bart. And I think it was either Bart Starr or him. I wasn't sure which one it was, but they remember that. And I think it was Bart Starr and told the coach. And Vince Lombardi, he says, you remember that? I said, yeah. He says, I think it'll work, quarterback sneak. Besides that, we can't get much traction. I think I can follow Kramer right into the end zone. Okay, sure enough, get up the line. Everybody's frozen. Snap the ball. Pugh rises a little bit too high. Kramer goes underneath him, slides him back into the end zone, and Bart Starr falls on top of him for the winning touchdown. You want to know why? Because they were desperate enough to win, but they studied and they remembered a little glimpse of something that they saw. Now you tell me, why did they use that the last play of the game and not other fourth and ones? Because sometimes God only gives you things when you absolutely need it. But it's got to be hidden in your heart, or he can't bring it back to you. Now, notice, if you would, it'll preserve us from evil. But notice the next thing. I want you to see this. It'll protect us from the evil man. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. Yea, equity, yea, every good path. He says, I'll help you to understand the right way. That's benefit number one. Benefit number two and protection number two is, notice if you would, in verse number 11, discretion, good decisions, shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. He says, I'll deliver you from the way that's wrong, and I'll deliver you, I'll protect you from the man that is wrong. Notice, if you would, in what he describes this person. But if you don't have the principles of God, you can get swept up by this charismatic man that's going the wrong direction. Notice verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. He's got a little bit of a filthy mouth. Who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are forward in their paths. He said, look, I'm going to protect you from that person. That's the reason you don't find great Christians in the bars. And you don't find great Christians in jail. Because the path of godliness doesn't lead that way. It's totally foreign to a great Christian. Unless they're being mistreated, obviously. But for righteousness' sake. So you notice, number one, from the way of the evil man and from the evil man himself. But notice the next protection. Look in verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Now this is not a woman that's got three eyes and two mouths. This is a woman that has a wayward heart. Notice what he says. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. She tells you all the things you want to hear. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth. She was taught well, but doesn't listen. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. You remember we said you got to memorize God's word and it's got to be a priority to you? Well, she memorized it, but she just forgot it, doesn't care about it. It's not important to her. He said, my guidance will protect you from that woman that has a good reputation, but doesn't have a good way. Notice, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Notice verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. You see, if you get caught up with a wicked woman, a woman that forsaken the covenants of God and doesn't listen to spiritual things, she's going to take you to the bottom. So he said, look, if you desire to do what's right, if you do these things, if you're receptive to my word, if you memorize my commands, if you desire with all your heart, if you apply what you hear to your life, and if you make them priorities in your life, he says, you'll never have to worry about the wrong way. I'll protect you from that. That's why we want our children to learn the word of God, to be in an environment. We try to protect them until they're old enough to be able to go from that 50% to that 90%, until finally we can say, look, you have to decide. You cannot force a child into the will of God. You can lead them to it, but it's really hard to lead them to the center of God's will unless we're there ourselves. And if we're there, we can say, come follow me. That makes it easier. And so today I encourage you to purpose in your heart, I'm going to follow the Lord in the center of his will. Now notice, if you would, there's one other ingredient that's a blessing. It's a protection. Notice verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. The perfect shall remain in it. So he said, look, I'm going to protect you from the way of the evil man. I'm going to protect you from the man himself. I'm going to protect you from the wicked woman. And I'm going to provide for you, notice, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. I'm going to provide the right way for you. When you're struggling, I'm not sure what to do, I'm going to provide the right way. It says, I'll give you the ability and the wisdom and the decision making. If you're trying to apply my word to you, if you want to put me first, I will always put you in the path of good men. You know, I look down the lines of Joseph, sold by his brothers as a slave, called a liar and a pervert by Potiphar's wife, placed into prison, forgotten by the butler, but yet God is always there. And after 12 years of difficulty, of training, when he's put into the will, a perfect will of God, in his mind, he was in the perfect will of God in jail. He was being trained. He was in the path that God wanted him. It's not his path, but God makes no mistakes. In John chapter 9, the disciples looked at a blind man and said, Lord, who did sin, this man or his father, They said, neither. This is not but for the will of God and for the blessing of God. And today, maybe God is working in your life to be a blessing to someone else. Are we willing and able to be used of God in the center of His perfect will? There's reason people are not saved today. Because many Christians are willing to live outside the will of God. Barely. But far enough not to have the power of God. Far enough not to consistently make the right choices. And so today, I want to challenge you to take this proverb, second proverb, and learn its principles and desire with all of your heart, the Lord, I want to be in the center of your perfect will, no matter the cost. It is my number one priority is to not do all these things that are bad, but to please you. Today, the love of God is the motivation for pleasing Him. Do you have it? Father, will you bless today? Lord, I'm so thankful for your word and the guidance that it gives to us. Father, the promises to miss the wrong way. Lord, we can see it and pass by it. Lord, we can see the wrong man, even though they're persuasive and suave and maybe can help us in a lot of ways. Lord, we can avoid our way around the wicked man. And Lord, we can avoid our way around the wicked woman. And Lord, you will guide our paths into good men, into the way that pleases you. Father, bless today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to remember your words that we might please you. In your name we pray. Amen.